Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, the home team is presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Hey, let me tell you something, Golden Pantry, about being golden today.
It's hard when we lose.
Yeah, it's hard. Georgia lost on Saturday, but it'll be okay. It might take me until like next week to get back into that good frame of mind. I do have to admit my confidence is a little bit shaken, but a good off week. We'll do the soul some good, and then I'll get back to next week, and I'll look like, oh, Georgia still has the second best yards per play differential in the SEC, and by like a yard more than the next best team in the SEC, which I believe is Florida, actually, and then Kentucky is in there too, both higher than LSU. Again, to argue that potentially Georgia just lost at LSU and the next two opponents are actually better than LSU, but LSU has played a pretty wicked schedule. I mean, they've beaten Miami, they've beaten Auburn, now they've beaten us, and they also beat Ole Miss. That's Ole Miss's only SEC loss, right? No, they lost to Alabama,
well,
too.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Everyone loses to Alabama.
That doesn't count.
But I think this Saturday could be a good buy-low spot for War Eagle, though, because they go to Oxford. And Ole Miss is coming off that crazy. Would they go like 98 yards on that last drive to beat Arkansas?
It's nuts. I'll tell you this, for Auburn, this is a great time to go on the road. That place was dead on Saturday, and this is Auburn, Tennessee. But that's one of those deals too. Chris, we say it every year when there's a preseason top 10. There'll be three or four of these teams that aren't in the top 10. A couple of them will go 6-6 or 7-5. One of them might have a losing season. I'm not saying Auburn's going to have a losing season. But when you've got these championship dreams and then all of a sudden you lose a couple of tough games, one of them a heartbreaker at home, and then you're playing a nooner, and then next thing you're losing to a Tennessee team that had really been struggling. And, I mean, that crowd was emptying out pretty early, and it wasn't rocking there. I mean, you could hear when Tennessee was playing good, I mean, the Tennessee energy. I feel like they had a lot of positives coming out of the Georgia game. And, we weren't the only ones who felt Tennessee had a chance to at least keep it close. And there was great energy for the Volunteers there at Jordan-Hare, and the Auburn fans were leaving early. It really wasn't that loud during the game. So I think for Auburn, getting away is probably the best thing that could happen. And here's the deal with them. How about they beat us? 2 weeks later, they beat Alabama. They're two big rivals, both ranked number one at the time. Since they beat Alabama, their record is 4-5.
Well, yeah. And if you throw, since they beat the dog crap out of us, they've won six games, but three of those are against Lou Monroe, Alabama State, and Arkansas.
Correct.
So they don't really count. That's half their wins.
I guess Arkansas would count, but
not really.
They are SEC.
In name only. I mean, really, is Arkansas really – are they that different than a Sun Belt team?
No, they would be – they're on the same level, especially with the new staff, that like Georgia Southern or App State is.
Yeah, App State, I don't even think they're on the same level as App State.
I mean, North Texas beat them 44-17.
Yeah, if Arkansas was in the Sun Belt, they'd finish in the middle of that conference this year.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So, I don't count that. Lou Monroe, Alabama State, and Arkansas. That's half their wins since, they beat the dog crap out of us. And then we'd turn around and beat the dog crap out of them.
And I said, are they going to try and buy Gus? I was like, well, they just re-upped him 7 years, $49 million.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That ain't going to happen.
There's another agent, the bamboozling.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I mean, that would literally be one, and he's done a lot of great things at Auburn, no question. But were I in charge at that point, be like, do you really want to leave here to go to Arkansas? Okay, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, look at Arkansas's roster. They don't have an SEC roster.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, Auburn's got another nooner, though, this Saturday, that game in Oxford, which over there is not a nooner. It's an 11 a.m.er. All right, Jeff, we'll open up today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. You asked me last week if Georgia didn't win the game, you know, how much would my perception change? And, you know, I went, not at all. Georgia today would be still be a good team to me. It wouldn't affect me one way or another. I'm a little bit rattled. How about you? Do you still feel good? What is your mood right now?
No, here's why I feel good. I have confidence that we're going to bounce back. The thing that probably worries me most coming out of the game is that we're still not getting better on the run defense. But I think everything that went wrong for Georgia is absolutely correctable. And big picture, we saw some warning signs with the penalties, as you had pointed out, some of the shaky offensive starts that we've had. But Georgia's been able to survive it just because the Bulldogs have been superior athletically. Now you run into a team that could match Georgia athletically. LSU played great. Georgia made a lot of mistakes. LSU capitalized on them. When you turn it over, when you have special teams malfunctions and the other team's playing great at home, that is a recipe for a loss. And it really was a perfect storm on Saturday.
One of those turnovers, though, was not – I mean, that ball on that one pick hit the ground, right?
I thought it did, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was on the ground.
And did they overturn that?
That was called a pick on the field.
And they upheld it, okay.
I thought the point of the ball was on the field.
It totally was. It hit the ground. But that was – we had to have punted anyway there, right?
Yeah, I mean, we held them to three.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was 19-3, but it's – and listen, I don't blame Mecole when he fumbled. At that point, they were up 17. He was trying to make a play. I mean, we needed a quick touchdown. Again, it was just one of those things that started snowballing, and after the fake, we were chasing those points the whole way. So, you know, we had a couple early opportunities we didn't cash in on. LSU really seized the momentum and played great. And when the other guy plays great at home, and you're making mistakes and they're cashing in, it's just not going to be your day. So we'll see how the Bulldogs respond, and I'm fully confident that Georgia will respond well and play a great game down at Florida.
The thing you said, though, about, you know, encountering an opponent, though, who, you know, was at least on the level from a talent standpoint and an athletic standpoint of Georgia's. I mean, Georgia's got another one of those coming up in Florida. Florida absolutely is. I mean, despite the fact that we beat them 42-7 there last year, that is another opponent similar to LSU. And if, you know, Georgia comes out wobbly on offense as it has, and, you know, was reliant on those non-offensive touchdowns and those wins at South Carolina and Missouri, then the Gators, who got just housed in the game last year, that's going to be a confident bunch early on in that game.
Tell me that stat again. So our road game first halves, our offense has scored one touchdown in 18 possessions.
18 drives. We've been outgained in all three of those games. And on third down, we're 5 out of 21 in the first. So our offense just
timeout. Repeat that.
All right, one touchdown and 18 drives.
And this is all. So this is in six quarters of football.
All in the three road games. 5 for 21 combined on third down. Okay. And we've been outgained in all three of them too.
Offensively, we're not talking about special teams yardage. Offensively.
Offensively, okay. The other teams have had more yards. Now we'll. The South Carolina game, though, they had run like 18 more plays or something
against us. Right.
But our yards per play against Missouri was like 4.5, and Saturday we were terrible too. South Carolina, our yards per play was still pretty good, but they did have more yards overall. First downs were even too against the Gamecocks.
That 5 for 21 on third down, I think a lot of that goes back to, and again, what we've talked about, Georgia's really good. But guys like Michelle, Chubb, and Roquan, those guys just don't come along all that often. When they were in the game, teams had to respect that. Now, I will say, Swift looks like he is back to form. Holyfield was running great. I think that's another one there. What wound up being really the big play of the second half when they got the sack. It's where you'd like to see at least one of those guys in there to make LSU think, hey, they might be running. And I love Harrion too. He's a terrific back, but he hadn't been playing much in the game. So I would have liked to have seen the guys who had the hot hands. And I'm sure that's another thing when the coaches go back and you look at everything and they're going to see Holyfield averaged 8 yards a pop, Swift averaged 6 yards a pop, and they combined for only 19 carries, and Georgia wound up throwing it, 34 times? Those numbers, that's just how you fall behind the eight ball there.
Yeah, and that first drive that with the fake field goal, are running the ball well. I mean, we've got the first and 10, then Swift got a one-yard carry, so you're sitting second and nine, and then you do try to pass, and then if that doesn't work, then you're third and nine, and you got to pass again, and next thing you know, you're settling for a field goal, which unfortunately Georgia didn't settle for. They tried to run that fake, and that did not work.
No. Well, Mecole got interfered with there, those stinking refs.
I know. They have replay. That ball hit the ground. I couldn't believe that.
I know. That, by the way, that's another. Speaking of that, what we were going to have to do, we have got to get better punting the ball. Listen, Kamara's going to be great. There's a lot of pressure being a freshman out there, but Georgia's got to get better punting the ball. I mean, the hidden yardage, and you know, again, too, we had talked about it in the last two games where Georgia's average starting field position was. You know, it was the same boat again this past Saturday until Mecole's punt return. So you're talking about what in the last three games. We started twice on the plus side of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then the couple times we have, I mean, think the Missouri game, we had that short field settled for a field goal, and then Saturday we ended up whiffing there. Boy, if only it had been 19-13 at that point instead of 19-9.
It's, you know, when
it had a whole different tone to it.
When there's a bad play like that, it's early, you're on the road, that crowd got rocking. You just feel like you're chasing it the whole time.
I know, but that's the thing that did. It lingered the whole time, that moment when it's like, if this was 19-13, and all of a sudden Georgia just forces a three and out and gets the ball back on the 38.
Oh, man.
That's a different pressure for LSU than still being up two scores.
And even if they stop you there and you punt them down, there's not that – you're not in a desperate mode. It's like, all right, we'll just get the ball back.
But, yeah.
I mean, once we gave the ball up there – And to give them credit, they responded with a great drive. But that the sack on third down, to me, that took all the air out of our balloon at that point.
But again, the thing with we'll stop talking about the fake field goal now.
Bad,
I mean, everyone knows
deal.
It was a bad play. Even Kirby does.
Yeah.
So.
No, and that's
there's
where,
no real debate on that.
That's where Kirby's great. And again, it reminds me of Coach Dooley that when something doesn't go right. Or if he makes a bad decision, and again, every decision these guys make, they are doing it because they think it'll be successful. Obviously, it doesn't always work out. The risk-reward there, it wasn't worth it. Okay, it was a bad play. Kirby is great about admitting it, saying, hey, we got beat today, we got out-coached, we got outplayed. Coach Dooley was like that too, and when you say that, this was something, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I disagreed with the way Coach Richt would handle things. And that if something was obvious, sometimes he really wouldn't admit it or talk about it, or he'd try to put too rosy a spin on it. And you just find yourself arguing with your fan base.
No, you would get to the moments of the Teddy Roosevelt in the arena quote.
Which was just, it was just completely out of place there. Whereas, you know, sometimes, listen, hey, we played bad, they played great. And you know, it's like what Kirby said. He goes, hey, we got out-coached. We got outplayed. The field goal was on me. And then the other thing that happens when you say that, then you can move on from it instead of sitting there basically debating within your own fan base whether or not a play or a decision was even good. Or, well, we really didn't play that bad. It's like, no. Just say we got outplayed. Now the question is, what do we learn from this? Can we build from this? How do we respond? That's the challenge. And to me, listen, I still think Georgia can have a phenomenal year. This was kind of the reload year. You know, we were after last year with so many young players, boy, 19 and 20. Georgia's going to be really good the way the Dogs are recruiting and developing. And, you know, I think for most Georgia fans, if you would have been told in August, you're going to be 6-1 going into the open date. There were a lot of people who thought we were going to lose at one of the Columbias. I think almost all reasonable Georgia fans would have taken 6-1 at this point. But the problem is when you're 6-0, you don't want to take that.
No, yeah. And I think the other issue for me right now is just the, you know, even like some of the things after these wins that people have maybe been complaining about, which have been valid criticisms. You're the big one you pointed out was our run defense. It's just the team is not improving. The team's not getting better. And, you know, that's the worry heading into the bye week and then going into those games against the Gators in Kentucky. These little things that even have existed in the big dominating wins that Georgia's mm-hmm. had, we're not really improving. We essentially have one person rushing the passer, and that's DeAndre Walker. And we're getting gashed now on the ground, too. And then, again, I mean, even offensively, you look at
– the first half starts.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
pretty
it was
staggering.
Just the slow starts.
That's pretty staggering. One touchdown on 18 first-half possessions in SEC road games.
But combined, we've led those games, what, 40
oh, yeah.
to 17? Is that right?
I mean, we were up at Missouri 20 to 7. South Carolina was 20 to 10.
Yeah, so 40 to 17.
Yeah, and then –
but that's because we had three combined non-offensive touchdowns in those games.
That is correct.
Moving on in the 5-5, I think you know, one thing that probably is going to be – you know, getting bandied about here for the next week plus is the quarterback usage. And, you know, the idea of like, well, the plan with the quarterbacks is there is no plan. I don't think that's a good plan. And looking back at it now, that would fall under the category of one of those things that I don't believe I would have said out loud. So, Jeff, let's talk about a plan for how to use the quarterbacks. What's the plan that you would put in place for how to deploy Fromm and Fields?
And real, I think basically what Kirby was saying there was that they're doing it by feel and doing it situationally. I do think there might be a little bit more structure going ahead. I think, you know, you've got to let Fields start to throw the ball a little bit more now too, or teams are just going to say, because what you don't want to have happen is if he comes in the game, okay, we know it's a
running
play.
Here's a run play, yeah.
And it's probably going to be this. So I think just him starting to throw it a little bit more. And, again, this is a golden opportunity for that now. You got a full 2 weeks to put in some packages, to put in some scenarios. And I'll tell you, now, LSU obviously wasn't coming off an open date, but I think one thing you got to give them credit for, it was clear to me that Coach O told his team that, all right, we're coming off a loss. We don't have any margin for error if we want to get to Atlanta, okay? If we're fourth and short after 30, we're going. We're not substituting. You get right back up to that line. We're going. And they went 4-for-4 on fourth down. I mean, that's some voodoo down there.
And they had us completely. There were a couple times in the game it looked like
a
Grantham defense.
We
yeah,
were a
their guys
of
running
times.
All over the place.
And listen, that is so uncharacteristic of this Georgia team. But again, that's one where you have to give LSU credit. Sometimes the other guys catch you off guard. Georgia does it to teams a lot. They had a great, great plan there. And by the way, another not at all whining saying the officiated calls. What a horrible spot when Burrow scrambled on that third down and he stepped out the ball.
About a yard.
He was a yard and a half short of where they marked it.
They probably still would have gone for it, though.
They might have, but yeah, they would have had to have run it. Because the sneak, we almost stopped him on the sneak, but that was a horrible spot right there.
It was. They gave him a – I don't know why that wasn't reviewed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes with those spots, though, you don't see them reviewed, and they rely on the coaches to use the whole timeout and then challenge it.
Right. But and then, of course, that was on the other sideline. It's hard. And I get it, too. You're in the heat of the moment. It's like, do we want to burn a timeout here to call a spot potential? That's a hard call. And, again, give LSU credit. They were right up to the line.
No, because, I mean, most of the time they don't overturn
they don't
those
overturn
things. Because there's no, like – there's no good enough view of where
I mean,
the ball
should have
been. To
me, that one was obvious because he stepped out with the left foot. He was twisted diagonally, and the ball was in his right arm.
Yeah. Well, to me, that ball hit the ground on what
I
ended up being
so
a pick.
Too.
That seemed pretty obvious, too, and they still gave him the interception. Moving on to the 5-5. Overall, looking big picture around the country, who were some of the big Week 6 winners in college football?
I think LSU, they played themselves right back into the national picture. I think Michigan absolutely jumped up
there. How about
there.
The Ducks?
Oregon, you talked me into Washington.
I talked myself into Washington, too.
But Oregon absolutely jumping in there. Those would be at the top of the list. And absolutely, for a fan base that's been suffering a good bit the last decade or so, you have to tip your cap to Tennessee for going in and winning at Auburn.
I hope Vol fan Rob is listening on Friday when I named Tennessee one of my live dogs of the week.
Well, they were a live dog.
I've been hard on Tennessee here, but on Friday, after deliberating for a week, I got to where not only did I like Tennessee with the spread, which we liked all week,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure. Especially
at
18.
Yeah. But then, it came down to 14.5, and I went, you know what? But as the week wore on and I started looking at those numbers and digging into that matchup, I got to Friday, I'm like, I actually think Tennessee can win the game. And then they did. So there you go.
Way to go, Vols. Real quick for Auburn, and I don't want to jinx anything. We all know the Georgia-Auburn history there. They need to beat Ole Miss to make sure they're going bowling because they've still got the Dogs, Bama, and the Aggies.
Yes. Well, that's a good thought. I think Auburn is going to – I think this is a good buy-low spot for Auburn.
Too.
Plus, Ole Miss had a couple bad injuries Saturday. Metcalf, their one receiver's out for the rest of the year now.
That's a blow.
But, yeah, if they didn't do that, what is this? Let's see, they still have that win over Washington, of course. One,
yep.
Two, three. So, they've got four
they're
wins
four
right
and
now.
Three. Yeah, they're 4-3.
Yeah. South Carolina, too, is another one. And that Tennessee game, still a good spot for the Gamecocks because they're off this week and, the Vols have Alabama.
I swear, if I'm Tennessee, you can't sit there, we're not going to try. It's our biggest rival. But I would be working on South Carolina this week. They have zero chance to beat Alabama.
It would be one of those things you can't say it publicly.
Right.
But if you were really thinking big picture about the long-term health of the program and like what it would mean to actually win a couple games, winnable games, where you've got Missouri, Kentucky, Vandy, and South Carolina, I would completely pass on attempting to beat Alabama.
Just say, guys, go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
And maybe even tug it. Hey, listen, we're going to throw it 50 times. We're just going to run out of the shotgun and throw it every down.
Yeah. Just pretend like, because like any confidence that some of those Tennessee players got this weekend from the win, they're going to lose it Saturday.
Right.
When they get smoked by Bama.
Right.
So I would I'd make Guarantano, he tweaked something. So we're going to play Keller Crist.
And he's going to throw it 50 times.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
I think Guarantano, he'll be ready for the South Carolina game, though. But, yeah, he's a little banged up this week.
And I do think you talk about the first-year staffs. Give both Florida and Tennessee credit. They are much improved at quarterback. Those two guys who last year really were not very good.
Major upgrades. Big time. All right, Jeff, moving on to the 5 at 5. Tonight in the world of sports, we've got Monday Night Football, but we also have Game 3 of the NLCS. Who wins that battle, Dodgers-Brewers or the Niners and the Packers?
Well, I guess the football will get the better rating. I'll probably be dialed in a little bit more to the baseball tonight.
Those first two games in that series have been fantastic.
They've been terrific. I would lean L.A., and you could tell it was one of those things. The Dodgers got some momentum with that game one comeback, even though the Brewers won. I mean, it went from 6-0 to 6-5 and Harry.
Yeah. How about Kershaw, though, gives up a home run to the pitcher? A reliever, too.
Isn't that crazy?
But Justin Turner came up. They were down, 3-1 in game two? They come back and win that game. That's been an entertaining series. Actually, they both have. Even with the Red Sox somehow winning last night on David Price night.
Oh, they got lucky. Then the guy they brought in looked just like him. He was just shorter. He had the same beard.
Beard and everything, yeah.
And I think Boston fans, they've picked up on Price's postseason woes, don't you?
Everyone had because they were talking. I think that's the first time one of his teams has even won a game that he has started.
It is. You almost wonder. And these guys won 108 games. It's just they're so good that after this year. I don't know if anybody would take his contract. Would he just be better off with a change of scenery?
Price?
Yeah.
Yeah, going somewhere where he doesn't have to pitch in the playoffs?
Right.
Because he's pretty good during the regular season.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Go pitch for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't make the playoffs there.
No, you'll be very good.
Finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5. There is one game this weekend that's a battle of unbeatens. NC State and Clemson.
Yes, sir.
However, game day is not going to be there. They're going for the first time ever to Pullman, Washington for Wazoo hosting Oregon.
Okay.
They've never been to Pullman. So I actually like that they're going
there. They'll be rocking there. That'll be great.
But anyway, so somebody asked Dave Doran, NC State's coach, about that. And he doesn't really care one way or another. And his exact quote was, they could put it on AM radio for all I care. My question is, should we be offended by that?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Also, part two is, I'm pretty sure the Clemson-NC State game will be on AM radio.
I'm sure there are multiple AM radio stations that will be carrying that. So, Dave Dorning, who do you think you are? Do you not remember when you were young, when there was only one, maybe, if you got lucky, two games a week on TV on Saturday nights? I can remember being a kid. You would surf the radio trying to find the calls, WLW out of New Orleans to try and get LSU, the Big Stick 1510 out of Nashville to get Tennessee or Vandy,
yeah.
The St. Louis 1510 to try and get the Missouri Tigers, you know, the big station out of Birmingham. Yeah, you would surf those AM stations trying to get college football games. So how about, yeah, don't forget about your roots there.
In fact, since Georgia doesn't play this weekend, I'm calling on not – we should carry the NC State-Clemson game.
On AM
on
radio.
On AM radio. We should have that game. What do we have Saturday instead?
Do you know, I told young Ross –
right, nothing right now. I see a blank on Saturday, so we ought to pick that game up.
You know, I told young Ross, I go, do you tell, you know, girls at college, you know, that you're on the radio? She said, well,
no.
You know, I go, let me clue you in. Most of the girls you're interested in, they're probably not listening to AM radio.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Let me give you a bit of advice, Ross. If you haven't told any of the girls at college that you're on AM radio, keep it that way. But anyway, Dave Doran taking a shot at AM radio. And
I'm offended by that.
I am offended by that.
I am offended.
We need to carry that game on Saturday.
We need
now
to directly Twitter him.
I'm being told we have Bama, Tennessee on Saturday. So there you go. We'll have that game instead.
Come on, Vols.
Yeah, okay. Let's not get too crazy. It's the home team presented by Golden Pantry Food Stores. There is your 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.